Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And I'm joined by Erica Engelhaupt, whose new book, Go to Hell, A Traveler's Guide to Earth's Most Otherworldly Destinations, is available everywhere from National Geographic, and it explains a lot of travel destinations having to do with the underworld. And so, Erica, as we jump into this, as a person myself who grew up in a Catholic family in Sioux City, it seemed like every pilgrimage to Ireland had to do some way with Christianity. Now, as I read this book, there's a lot of non-Christianity, in fact, very hell-centered things that you can do in Ireland. Can you kind of explain this as we jump off on this book?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, really, it's the birthplace of Halloween in Ireland, and so it was fascinating to learn about this. One of the places that I visited was this cave in Ireland called Onegat that's considered the birthplace of Halloween. It's this little hole in the ground, and you climb in, and it opens up into this pitch-black crack in the earth. And in pre-Christian Ireland, the pagans believed that this cave was basically a portal to the other world, their version of the other world called Tírnanog, which was a land full of supernatural beings, such as the Shí, which many people today call fairies, but these were very powerful beings. And on their festival day in the fall called Samhain, it was believed that this portal to the other world would open and the spirits, the Shí, would emerge, and this would usher in the beginning of winter. So when Christians arrived in Ireland, that festival of Samhain ended up becoming what we now celebrate as Halloween, and the cave became known as the Hell Cave. And today you can go to the archaeological site there and actually even go into the Hell Cave and see ancient inscriptions inside. There's also, from the Christian era, I went to St. Patrick's Purgatory, which is a monastery. It's really secluded. It's on this little island that's just a monastery in the middle of a huge lake on the northwest coast of Ireland. And it's really gorgeous, but that was actually seen as having a portal to hell right there at the monastery. In their case, they saw it as going to purgatory, and so that's why it's called St. Patrick's Purgatory. And people would actually go there on pilgrimages and get themselves locked into this little cave or pit that was on the island and have visions of being in purgatory or hell. And so it's a really fascinating place. But yeah, there's so much history in Ireland. And that whole history of Halloween, which they still celebrate today. You can go to the town of Trim on Halloween, which I did, and they have a big festival, and they kind of combine some of those ancient Irish traditions of Samhain and the, you know, the characters and the spirits that were associated with that with our modern-day Christian idea of Halloween. So it's really a fascinating place.
And the places you have featured in your book, I mean, we're not just limited to Ireland or even to Europe. It's all over the different continents. And so did you notice as you made your travels that any of these sites or that you found sites that maybe you didn't include that seemed to be knockoffs of others? Because it doesn't seem like, it seems like they all have their own unique story.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I think one thing that really just stood out to me was the commonalities. Even when you look at cultures in completely different places in the world and throughout time, you can see how people's ideas of an underworld kind of spread from culture to culture. And I think, you know, in Asia, there's a good example of that because you had originally the Buddhist and Hindu idea of Naraka, which is a place for the afterlife, much like the Christian idea of hell. And that spread, when you go to China, there's even an idea of hell. And that combines those Buddhist ideas with traditional Chinese folklore and Taoist religion. And so they have Chinese Diyu, which is their version of hell that can have up to like 18 levels of hell. And so you see that a lot of the same ideas repeated from culture to culture. You know, that idea of having different levels of hell, you see that, you know, going in the Christian idea, going back to like Dante's Inferno with the circles of hell. You see it again in China. You see it even In ancient Mayan civilization, the Maya believed that there was a place called Xibalba with 9 levels of hell. So it's really fascinating to see how many of the same ideas pop up over and over again in different cultures.
Did any of these sites worldwide exist before Dante's Inferno? Because that seemed to be the beginning point of what people's idea of hell would be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Dante was very influential in our modern-day idea of hell. But you can go all the way back to ancient Egypt, and they had an idea of a place of judgment after death. And then certainly the roots of Christian hell go back to the Greek and Roman times, where you had Hades originally in Greek culture, and that was just this kind of gloomy afterlife where people wandered the earth as what they called shades that were just kind of like ghostly figures. And then it wasn't until you kind of started to get into the Roman era and then really the Christian era, Christians really elaborated on that idea of Hades and made it much more hellish and fiery in what we picture as hell today.
There's one line in the book that I seized on, and it caused me probably more thinking than I probably should have, but you talked about bringing this back to the United States here, the areas, well, Yellowstone National Park, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, and you said that it tells us something about the mindset of the settlers who named these places, because the devil's name appears in so many titles. Of places.
Everything is called devil something or hell something. And when you look out west, it's really interesting. And you have to imagine what settlers traveling across this land would have imagined when they came across something like these geysers or these bright, colorful, steaming pools in Yellowstone. I mean, some of these features, they're absolutely gorgeous, breathtaking. When you think about the different volcanoes and volcanic features and things like that. But also, they could be really terrifying, dangerous. And so I think it's kind of natural that people, not just, you know, settlers going west in the United States, but all around the world, you know, when the Spanish first saw the Masaya volcano in Nicaragua, they thought this is absolutely, you know, the entrance to hell because it was just flaming and you've got this, like a lake of lava sitting there. And so you can still go there today and see it. And I think it's very, very easy to see how some of these really cool natural features have inspired what we imagine different hells to be like.
I'm chatting with Erica Engelhaupt about her new book, Go to Hell, A Traveler's Guide to Earth's Most Otherworldly Destinations from National Geographic. It's available everywhere. Something else I noticed about a lot of these places is they don't seem to be commercialized, or at least overly commercialized. Was that your experience as you visited them?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I think I would say Pompeii would probably be the most heavily visited kind of place that I put on the list, perhaps. But yeah, I really tried to focus, you know, this is National Geographic, we're all about places and the natural world. And so I really tried to focus on places where there was really something spectacular to see. And I really tried to get in a lot of places that I think people might not know about or that are kind of out of the way. And so they're not the big tourist attractions. A lot of them are just really beautiful, spectacular places or interesting things to see or interesting associated with different interesting legends and lore. But yeah, I tried not to do too many of the big tourist attractions. But there are certainly there are plenty of them that are easy to get to. You know, some are more adventurous, like the Gates of Hell in Turkmenistan, which is out in the middle of a desert, this big flaming pit. But then there are plenty of others that are accessible and easy to get to, like Hell, Michigan, right here in the U.S.
You know, as I was going over this book this weekend, I was chatting with my nephew, who's obsessed with outer space now and NASA, and I showed him the section of the book it's titled Craters of the Moon. It's in Idaho, but it's this volcanic area that NASA has used to study as a kind of a mirror landscape. I know I'm oversimplifying it, of Mars, but can you explain what that is? Because the pictures there were just breathtaking.
Yeah. It's really spectacular, and that's one that's in my category of otherworldly destinations, it really does feel like you're in another world when you're there. And they've got these, so it's a volcanic landscape, and there are these lava tubes where literally lava flowed through the earth and created these tunnels that you can, and you can actually go inside some of these. They're really big. So it's just a really bizarre landscape. You know, you've got all of these lava features that have been created, really beautiful, but also kind of foreboding in a way. So yeah, that's one of the really cool places that you can see right here in the U.S.
As you made your journey and your travels, it seems like, as I looked at a lot of these photographs and read about them, but for the story behind them, sometimes these look like they could be a gate to heaven, if you will, or a gate to someplace else. So if you hadn't known the hell backstory or the otherworldly backstory, could you have come up with your own story to add to these to make it a totally different idea?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many beautiful places. And, you know, one that kind of stands out to me as being unusual in that way was Cape Renga in New Zealand. And this had a really beautiful backstory, where the Maori people see this particular point at the edge, at the end of the North Island of New Zealand as the jumping off places, the spirits. And so their idea is that when you die, your spirit flies to this particular cliff and then leaps into the ocean and swims down and goes back to their homeland. Which is, you know, kind of their version of heaven. But it's an other world, you know, it's another realm. And I just thought that was so beautiful. And when you see a place like that, it's just, I mean, it's breathtaking. It's spectacular. There's, you know, two different oceans coming together and this cliff. And so, yeah, you can easily imagine some of these places and create your own kind of backstories for them. But it really makes you look at places in a new way, I think, and see how so many cultures, you know, we're all kind of connected through these stories that we tell about life and the afterlife and imagining other worlds.
Well, it was just a fascinating book, and the photographs, obviously, from National Geographic are fantastic. The book is called Go to Hell, A Traveler's Guide to Earth's Most Otherworldly Destinations. And even if you never travel, just to see these places and to read the backstories is just amazing. It's by Erica Engelhaupt. Erica, this is just a fascinating book, and especially right before Halloween time, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.